I'm Presley.
And I'm Connor.
And this is the Server Life Podcast, where we candidly talk about the glamorous lifestyle of the service industry.
We share some of our own stories, along with some of yours, so we can all laugh and realize that we are not alone in this.
So feel free to subscribe, stick around, and join the conversation.
We love reading your comments, especially when it's praise. For me. Hey guys, it's Presley and Connor here. The past couple weeks, we've seen people come together in all 50 states to speak out against the systemic racism ingrained in our society in the wake of the senseless killings of Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and George Floyd. The truth is, their deaths aren't isolated events. In the age of smartphones and body cams, we have seen too many unarmed black people excessively beaten or killed by police and would-be vigilantes in this country.
Mm-hmm. And the fact is that the racism never went away. And as many white people would like to believe that it has, it really hasn't. And it is a reality that black people know all too well. And many of us in the industry see it every single day. And I think that it's important that we have this conversation about racism in the service industry. That's not a conversation that we're seeing in headlines. And it's pretty... You know, it's our obligation to have this conversation and shed light on the issue. So this is how we're taking a stance in our industry. And we are so happy to welcome Malik Joe. We've had him as a guest previously, and we're so stoked to have him on this episode. Welcome, Malik.
Welcome back.
Hi, guys. What's up, Connor? What's up, Press?
Hey.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. How are you doing with everything? How's work? How's life?
So work has been, it's really picking up now because, you know, we have the outside seating. Outside today was really, really, really busy. And going with the COVID going on and protests, especially here in Philly where things got really crazy. I'm working in South Philly and it's a really, like, you know, kind of segregated area. You know, you got the South Philly, like, diehard Italians on one side and, you know, you got black people on the other side. So it's crazy down here in Philly for the most part. But hopefully we can all come together and find a way to move forward with everyone.
Totally. And I think it is our duty to start having these conversations. And I think starting this off is how do we start these conversations? Because Connor and I are both white, privileged, quote unquote, had the same life experience as a lot of the people who are experiencing all of the injustice. So how do we start having these conversations?
I would say educating yourself and becoming more relatable to something that you want to be educated about, because it is a problem that you aren't educated about it if you aren't educated about it. Knowing what things that aggravate people, why people act the way they act, why people do the things that they do. You know, a lot of people like to feel discomfort when someone, they don't understand why someone would do something and, you know, it comes off as wrong. And I feel like a lot of problems in America and serving in any industry is it's because of the unformality of, you know, other people and knowing what they like and how to act and how to approach them and being relatable and not being judgmental. And it's hard to gauge, you know, because you don't want to overshoot and then you're looking like, you know, you're just like what they call a black scent or things like that. You know, you don't want to overshoot, but you also you want to be educated and know people and also just not be judgmental, be kind, you know. And it's really hard to approach it and just bring it out the open to just talk about it, you know, because you never know how that person's going to take it, how they see you, you know. But I definitely think educate yourself and relating yourself to everyone. You should be able to be related to everyone and any color.
Totally. And I think we had a previous conversation where we're in this phase of undoing a lot of things that past generations have just left for us, and that nobody is born racist and judging people. We learn all of that over time. So a lot of these things are just ingrained from our past. So it's a lot of undoing. So it's like, where do we start like that? Connor made a good comment. Like, we're all learning. That's one of the biggest things we could do. Put our money where our mouth is, speak up. But then Con, you made a comment about virtue signaling.
Yeah, I just, I, I think that when you're a white person that wants to be actively anti-racist and you want to be an ally, it's you definitely want to use your privilege to amplify black voices without speaking over them. I think right. that it's important to put your money where your mouth is and donate to causes if that's what you can do, to get out and protest if that's what you can do. I think that if you're able to post on social media and you're passionate about this and you want to, you know, be loud on social media, go for it. But if that's all you're doing, then it starts to come off as performance, right? And that's virtue signaling, is like, it's just to make you, your image, look and feel a certain way when really you should be, it should be about the injustice. It should be about what's happening to black people in this country. It's not about you. It's not about being part of a fad. It's not about your image at all. It's not about you. So I think it's something to keep in mind as you're learning and as you're, you know, rightfully outraged. And this may be something that for many white people, because of our privilege, feels new. It feels like, oh my God, I had no idea it was this bad. I've heard people say that. And it's like, well, cool, welcome to the party. But like, you can't just start screaming about it and missing the point and making it about you. So it's about finding the best way to be an ally in the truest sense and not just jumping on a bandwagon. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think one of the best, Connor and I had a conversation before this, and it was kind of like, am I a little bit nervous to have this conversation? Why? There should be no reason that I'm nervous. But, and because we didn't want to make this like, oh, poor me, white girl, how do I be an ally? Because this isn't about us, you know? This is about how can we change what we're doing to make a difference, and more specifically in our industry. So what are some differences that you see in the industry? Like being a black server?
Right, exactly. So, you know, from you have it like, being a server and being black, and it depends on what building you work at, what's the clientele like, because like, you know, I said it before when we talked, I worked at a place where they pulled tips, you know, and I would always, you know, before I got comfortable with these people and they knew me and they knew I was okay, I would always say what tip I got. Like, I got $7 here, I got $10 here, only because in my head, systematically, I'm thinking if money comes up missing, who else they gonna blame? I'm the only black person that works here. And that's my own systematically thinking that's what's gonna happen, you know. And God forbid, obviously it never happened, but it's just, we need to get rid of, like, you know, that stigma that, like, you know, black people are bad. It's like, oh, it's a bad thing. Don't work with them, or like, you know, or they're lazy. You know, it's like things that we just say, and it's just like nothing. Oh, they're not gonna tip because they're black. You know, it's like, we say these things on a constant basis, and we it becomes like normal. It becomes like, that's like a joke and it's cool, but it's like, these things are not cool. You know, you gotta be able to make everybody feel in a good way when they want to come to eat, when they want to come and work for you and stuff like that, you know?
Wow. It's just, the fact that even has to be a running thing in the back of your head, like, yeah. I have to have my own back because I'm going to be the first one to blame. Yeah. That's so fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like how you said, like, you know, like these traditions that are passed down. You just know, you know, you just think that. And like, back to like a black guest, you know, you thinking, oh, maybe they won't tip. You know, I didn't know how to tip correctly until I actually started working in the in the industry, and that's what built my education on, you know, everyone working in the industry, because I had no education on it prior to that. My grandmom tip $5 all the time. So I tip $5 all the time. And so I started working in the industry, and then I learned, and, you know, I tell my friends, you know, and I don't want to make it about, you know, tips and money and stuff like that. But that's one of the stigmas that also relates in a bad area, because a bad tip is a bad thing. And that's a bad thing that also is under the group of black people. So we need to get rid of all these stigmas that make us out to be these bad people. You know, it's very rare that I see a male black server in the Center City, Philadelphia. It's very rare. It's a rare thing. I'm one of them. It's probably like 10 of us. Like, it's a very rare thing. It's usually like, you know, a pretty young white girl, and, you know, that, and that's how it usually goes. And, you know, I get it. People, that's a sex appeal. People want to see that, and I understand. But it should be equal opportunity for everyone, and we got to get rid of these stigmas that we generally and just passed down. We need to get rid of it.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, we're all fucking people, no matter what our skin color is, which we can't fucking control, no matter who we're attracted to, no matter what higher power we believe in, we're all people, and we deserve to be fucking treated like people with equal opportunity and equal rights. It's so baffling that it's 2020 definitely, and it's even up for debate right now. The fact that this is up for debate. And what's so interesting about the industry too is I was reading an article on, let's see, Scholar's Compass, and I won't read the study, but it essentially says that, I'll read a little bit of it. It says, race affects everything in society, and this specific study sheds light onto the interaction between African-American diners and white diners. The results confirm the hypothesis that white waiters spend less time with African-American diners than with their counterparts, and therefore they're less attentive to African-Americans. Yeah. So they're saying that majority of staff are white. They're going to give more attention to white diners as opposed to African-American, and this study is saying that's why, that could be why the stereotype around black people not tipping is there.
Right.
That this was such an interesting article that I read, because in all the restaurants I've worked at, it's there's maybe one or two people of color on the floor. Yeah.
Right. And another thing on to that, I feel like people spend less time at these tables because they have no relation to that table. Even if you're against it, if you're like, oh, I don't want to go to them because they're ratchet or this or whatever, or you just, you know, I don't know what to say. I don't want to be the bad guy. I don't want to say, oh, you know, like, and do too much. So once you educate yourself and become relatable and comfortable, you can go to these tables and do, you know, like I go to, you know, any table and I'm just me because, you know, I'm me, but I can see the fear in a good way on the other side, coming to a table, damn, I don't want to say the wrong thing. Or also the side that might hate you. Like, oh, I don't really like that table. I don't like the way they look. I don't want to go to that table. I'm just going to give them shitty service, you know? And it's like, with relation, it wouldn't be that way. You know, relation and education about other races and cultures, it would not be that way. We're segregated so much that when we meet at these areas as adults, it's so out of whack, and then somebody's all automatically a racist, you know, because like we don't know each other. Mm-hmm. And that's what it takes, education.
I also think it's interesting how much of this is internalized, because it is systemic, because it's so prevalent in our society. And there's just these social messages that are sent to white people and black people about race that it's like, you don't even always realize the ways that you're internalizing these things. So it's easy for white people to be like, oh, I'm not racist. And it's like, but are you actually trying to educate yourself, as you're saying? Are you becoming aware of the things that you have internalized without even necessarily being conscious of? Like the biases that you carry with you day to day that you're not even thinking about, not looking for. So I think one of the best things about this particular period in time is that more people are starting to look at their own prejudices in a way that they haven't before, because with enough people speaking out and saying it's not enough to just say and think that you're not racist, you need to be aware, you need to be learning, you need to be actively anti-racist and start at home. Look at yourself, look inward, look at your family, have these conversations. Let's start, you know, thinking for the roots of issues, because I think that's the only way that we can really start addressing them and looking for solutions is if we acknowledge them within ourselves.
Right. It's exactly right, because a lot of people have that in them already when they go to the table, that these white people are not going to like me. And I just know that from being a black person and being a kid growing up and going to like Fridays or Applebee's, you know, like, oh man, we got these white servers that's probably not going to like us. So, you know, they probably don't like us because they think that we're ignorant, or they think that we're loud. So we're going to give them what they're asking for. You know, just ignorant stuff like that, that, you know, shouldn't be a thing. We should treat, this shouldn't be a thing as a ratchet table. You should just go to the table and treat it as a normal table. You know, treat people like human beings. You know, it's like that goes so far. And when you treat somebody like a human being and you're so nice, I've seen so many actual good servers that go to tables, and you might think that they were ratchet or whatever the case may be, and they just turn the whole thing around. And everyone's smiling, everyone's having a good time, and I'm sure they took that experience and they told their friends, "Oh, go here because you know people treat you nice," or you know whatever it may be. We just need more of that going on, and then you know maybe we can take some steps forward.
Totally. Yeah. My approach is when I'm serving a table, I give every table the same service. I treat every single person the exact same. Unless they're coming at me sideways, then I'll give it to them real. But everybody deserves to be treated the same. Con, what were you going to say? I cut you off.
I will admit to, I don't consciously think it's a matter of race, but as we're looking inward, like we're talking about, you know, you start to question these things, these biases that we have. But I will admit to having misjudged a party, you know, not necessarily of one particular race, but you look at a table and you go, "Oh, this will be fun," and then they end up being really nice and it goes well and they tip you well, and then you feel like an asshole. And it's just a reminder of like our prejudices exist, but they're not based on reality. It's based on these assumptions. That's what prejudice is. It's making a judgment call without having any real knowledge or experience. So I think it's just if we all can relate to that sort of feeling where we've misjudged a table based on what they're wearing or something we heard them say, why is it so hard for us to then look deeper and say, "Oh, you know, does race play a role in the way I prejudge my tables? And if so, what can I work on? How can I alter my thinking? Let's start rooting out these learned behaviors, these internalized things that are contributing to the greater problem."
Right. And I get that. There is a gray area when it comes to that, you know, like the more of the judgmental, like it's not a bad thing if somebody comes to your bar and they're like, "You're fine dining," and they're like, "Can I have a ENJ?" And you're like, "All right, this is going to be a long day because obviously there's no ENJ in here." You know, that doesn't matter. I don't care what color you are. You ask for ENJ and you're in fine dining. It's like, it's probably going to be a long day. You come to a good restaurant, you're asking for salmon. It's probably going to be a long day. We're not saying it because of a certain person says a certain thing. We're not saying it because a certain person acts a certain way or drinks a certain drink. You know, it's just more of a situation. That's just like a pre-snap read, if you will. Like, you know, that's more a gray area. That's not, I wouldn't say that you're a bad person because you do that. That's just because, you know, who's drinking E&J? Like, that's, like, I don't even want that person around me. But but like, I get that because I do make read. But like, the thing where it's though, you know, you got a group of 18-year-old, whatever kids it could be, white kids, black kids, whatever. It's like, we should go to those tables and treat them like human beings. You know, it's too far and often that we get these tables, especially right before you close and you're just like at the end of the day. And it's like, a 10 top of kids that you really don't want to serve because of whatever reason, you know, and we just got to bite it down and go in with, you know, smiles and be happy and make everybody feel welcome. And it's unfortunate that it took George Floyd to die for us to actually take these steps, but you know, we're taking them now and it's a good thing.
Totally. And something I want to bring up, when Malik, we had a conversation prior and you said more often than not, if a table of black people walk in and it's one of your white coworker sections, they will ask you to take them.
That is true. That has happened to me in the past.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that. I've been thinking about that, obviously, while we were preparing to do this episode. And I have experienced that as a white girl. If a table comes in and it's not super busy, and mostly this will happen if a table of dudes walk in because I'm an attractive female and I know that I'm gonna feel uncomfortable or different. And I was like, why would a white person feel uncomfortable serving just people who are a different color? And I feel like it's because white people we're used to always being around white people. It's very rare that we are in a situation where we're the only white person in a situation in the room. That's very rare. Being an African American, that's your experience all the time. So for me as a white girl to go up to a table full of, you know, people of a different color, I'm the minority for the first time. That's uncomfortable, but that's your life. As soon as I had that epiphany, I was like, holy shit.
Right. And I hate to keep hitting on the same point, but the only reason that I feel okay and I feel comfortable in these situations where I am the only Black person is because I am educated enough in every culture. I'm so educated, yeah. White culture, Indian culture. I'm educated in these cultures. That makes me feel comfortable to be like, hey, you know, I'm good. Like, you know, and I just feel like if the more education we get to, you know, we can bridge those gaps. And you would feel comfortable going up to the table. Oh, what's up, man? You know, you would just feel comfortable. You feel like you belong because you're educated, you know. And they can feel it. I can feel it when somebody is, like, just scared or nervous because of what I look like and how I look. You know, there's restaurants that I've went in and, you know, not to bring in my personal life, you know, or anything. But, like, I've been with girls in the past, you know, that were, like, white women, you know. And we would go to a nice, fancy restaurant, and I would walk in with them, and they wouldn't even think we're together. You know, they would be like, what are you doing here, basically? And
wow.
Then we would sit down, and then they would hear me start talking, because I'm so comfortable. I can tell that you feel discomfort that I'm here. I can tell. I can feel it, you know. And I'll sit down, and I'll start ordering, and I'll get a double martini dirty, and they're like, oh, he's not like that. He's not drinking E&J, you know. So it's like these things are the little things that we need to educate ourselves on, and so we can, you know, move forward.
Yeah,
part of that education too is broadening your social circle and befriending and talking to people that are not like you. I'm from New Hampshire. I'm a white boy from New Hampshire, which is one of the whitest states in the country.
Yeah, right.
and it's so funny when I talk to my parents, who are quite conservative and grew up in mostly white states as well. And they're like, you know, I don't understand how this is suddenly an issue again. And I don't see racism in my life. And I'm like, well, of course you don't, because you live in a white bubble. So it's like that's part of that education too. It's not just like, you know, of course do your research and use educational resources, but also life experience. Broaden your circle, get out and see how other people are living and learn about their experiences and connect as human beings, and then that makes the whole conversation seem so absurd. Like, why is this even a political conversation? It's just I know it's in bad form to ever try and equate one struggles with another. And I know nothing about what it's like to be a person of color, obviously. I benefit so much from white privilege. But I do know what it's like to sit at a table and have people debate, like, gay rights or something about, you know, something, whatever, whether it's marriage or adoption or whatever, and they talk about it, and then I just sit there and think, like, how is this a political, like, why are you politicizing my existence? Why is me existing something that merits debate? And I think it's so interesting to see that discussion still happening now for people of color. And it's like, how it being Black should not be political. It's not, you're a person. It's not about, I don't know. It's not, I just can't imagine how many people are sitting there feeling like, why are we even still having to have this conversation? But of course, it's because it's ingrained in our society, so that makes it political. But it's just it's just mind blowing to think that the color of someone's skin is so controversial in our society. Yeah. When people start, it's Blue Lives Matter, it's All Lives Matter. It's like, well, it's just Black Lives Matter. Of course they do, because they're human beings and they're not being treated like equal human beings. This is a no-brainer.
It's not a saying for no reason. It's a saying because it's a real thing. It's like people don't pull things out of their butt. It wasn't Blue Lives Matter first. It was Black Lives Matter because of a reason. These things just don't come out of anywhere. You know what I mean? So like when people say, oh, All Lives Matter, you know, Black Lives are, you know, are with all lives, you know, they just like are trying to blind themselves to something that's so blatantly in their face that, you know, that person, they need help. They need a hug. They need something. but it's just really hard for me to explain to someone that thinks that there's nothing going on and they're blind to it, because people like that tend to not be able to change. You know, it's like, how are you blind to this? You know darn well that I get treated differently wherever I go. We go in together, I'm going to get treated differently, whether it's minuscule or upscale. It shouldn't be any issue. You should all get treated, you know, and you know, have these relations.
Yep. Ignorance is not bliss.
Yeah.
Especially right now. And That's why this movement is so fucking loud, and we all need to be part of the solution, which is what we're doing, is having conversations and speaking up and donating and being part of this movement. And there's still so many people that are staying in their bubbles and going, oh, is this still happening? Oh, it'll fizzle out soon. It's like, hello, we are in the midst of a fucking revolution, guys. Get with it.
Right,
you're
in the middle
on one side or the other.
And it's just so crazy. Like, you know, when people like don't want to, like, even if it's on your social media, don't want to post Black Lives Matter because they think it's against their political party. It's like, no, it's not against any political party at all. Everyone can post Black Lives Matter. You can talk about it. It's fine. If you think it's against your post, you're so lost. You're so lost. If you think it's against your political party, you're so lost. And that just shows that America is in a way deeper problem than we know.
Yep, it's a human rights issue, not a fucking political issue. It doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent.
I don't understand that mentality. How do you have a problem with someone saying that Black Lives Matter? They're not saying only Black Lives Matter. They're just saying, hey, we need a reminder in this country that Black Lives Matter. And people are like, oh, all up in arms about it. I'm like, how is that an offensive statement to you? Does not make sense to me.
Ignorance. And I hope that, and I'm so stoked that we're doing this episode. And Malik, thank you so much for fucking wanting to be a part of it and contributing. But this is the start, and this is our contribution and starting a conversation and waking people up, and specifically in the restaurant industry, because we're talking about it on a global social scale. But we see it pretty directly every single day. And in our restaurant, in our back of house, we have one person of color. The rest are pretty much Hispanic, and they bully the one Black guy in the kitchen.
That is a big problem I actually wanted to talk about. That is a big problem. I wish Caesar was here for that. But a big problem with at least I know in my city, Philadelphia, most line cooks or dishwasher prep people, they are Hispanic people, you know, and they do not like Black people. It is crazy, like, to the point where, so, you know, a lot of people know me, I work really hard, you know, I knew a friend, I was like, hey, can I get a job at your job? This guy was Hispanic, he was a busser. He was like, sure, you get a job at my job, knowing that, you know, I could work. And this is the exact quote that he got from his friend. He said, you got him a job here, he's good. You know, he's talking to his Hispanic friend, and the Hispanic friend goes, he's Black and he's not lazy. And I was like, whoa, like, wait, you can't say that. That's not okay. You know? And it's like, they solely believe that. And I think they solely believe that just as that was passed to them from whatever has been in their past, you know? And these are the things that we need to get rid of. Like, we can work together. It's just really hard. And that, like, that is something that is like a bigger fight than I can give you all the knowings on, but definitely I wish Caesar was here for that, because he is Hispanic, correct?
Yes, he's
Latino. Yeah, I think it's important to clarify that it's not, you can't of course generalize and lump everyone together, but the point is that these internalized prejudices, this racism, is not exclusive to white people.
We're
the major perpetrators, and we're the ones that have, you know, the dominant role in society historically. So of course, that's systemic racism, and that's the white problem. But these types of prejudices can exist in all groups of people, and that's what I think that reveals, is that it's just such a pervasive problem. It's everywhere, and that's the thing that is really tough to root out, but. Specifically, obviously, when we live in a country that, you know, historically has given power to white people over people of color, and we see police officers that are white killing unarmed Black people, that's, you know, then obviously the problem here is white people, for sure. But I think, it is an interesting point that it's not exclusive to white people, but since we're the ones that historically have been in power and been in the position to abuse people of color, then that's where the roots are. That's what we need to start rooting out.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all about taking steps forward. And, you know, those handbooks that we all get when we start restaurant jobs, you know, those handbooks actually being effective and, you know, ruling out like discrimination and things like that. And, you know, being able to speak about, you know, things that you feel uncomfortable that people say at work, you know, because a lot of that, especially in the server, like, you know, industry, a lot of stuff gets like just pushed aside because they just use these jobs that's so like, you know, expendable and, you know, you're replaceable. But I mean, it's a problem that, you know, because I feel like no one, it could be any, in any political position in the world, every political person in the world should have been a server in their life just so they can relate to everyone. Because you have, it's literally, you're dealing with every type of guest every day, a different type of people. And it's the best thing to build your being able to get culture and education on other people.
Totally. And in a way, being a server can really open your eyes to this stuff because we're firsthand exposed to all of these different cultural backgrounds and different people. And it's our job to give good service and make people feel good and treat them well and send them off like with a full stomach and a great experience, no matter what they freaking look like. And so in a way, I think that servers can really use this to empower ourselves and to all come together and kind of be on the same page, which is unique. It's unique to see what's going to happen specifically in the service industry because we can really affect things. Because I was reading an article by Eater, and they were talking about how restaurants are called a third place. How like the first place is home, the second place is work, and the third place is places like restaurants where community comes together. So it was talking about how the third place and restaurants need to be extra proactive, and even suggesting that restaurants try and get involved in the protests by offering a place of gathering and offering like food and water. And that was my first, you know, doing the research on this and seeing how proactive restaurants could really get, you know?
Yeah.
But, oh man. Well, any other topics you want to discuss, messages we want to let out to the people?
Man, like I said, relation, education, educate yourselves, because without knowing, you won't know. You know, you even, you know, us being servers in the industry, that's how I think. I always want to be the best. I always want to be the best at what I do. So you should want to have education in relation to these tables so you can upsell, so you can do everything, you know, make everything good. You know, if you already know about who you're serving, then chances are you're going to get a really good tip. You know, when I have black tables and they're like, hey, how's your mac and cheese? And I give them that look like, not the one grandma makes, you know what I mean? Cause like, I know, you know what I'm saying? But you know, there's certain people that would be like, oh, it's fine. And they get it. And they're like, this is disgusting. And they're like, well, you have no, but you know, they don't have any relation or education on, you know, mac and cheese. We're from different places. You know, they just don't know how to gauge that. And, you know, more education, more relation, and we can all become a happy family.
Yep. Ignorance is not bliss. If you're uneducated, go out of your way and get educated. Our closer here is let your voices be heard and register to fucking vote. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, or independent. It is so important to let your voices dictate the fate of our country and all of our well-being. What we need to make sure is that everyone, regardless of our skin color, is treated equal, and it's our responsibility to make this happen. And so conversations like this are just the start of it. And it's an everyday proactive thing. And just having this conversation is just another step in the right direction, you know?
Yeah. And I think what we as white people can commit to do is, again, continue to uplift and amplify black voices. Use our privilege in our daily lives whenever we can to call out the racist shit that we encounter, and to, you call know, not give a courtesy laugh to a joke that's really not okay, and to speak up to our racist family members and to intervene in situations if we see black people being treated unfairly, because that's our privilege. It enables us to lend our voices. I think that's a starting point, is to look inward and to look at your life and start speaking out where you can.
Mm-hmm. Don't look the other way, motherfuckers.
Yeah, hell yeah.
All right, Malik, thank you so much for being here. Where can we follow you on Instagram if we're not already?
At The Real Malik Joe. I'll be there. You can follow me and watch my server life videos and all my voiceovers and such.
Yeah, your Instagram account cracks me up, so I recommend it, definitely. He's a funny dude.
Hell yeah, thanks. Go check it out. And we want to give a quick shout out to Caesar. He's the owner of the Server Life brand, and Hernan, who is our editor. We are a team doing the Server Life podcast, and we wouldn't be able to do this without everyone. So thanks to our team, and thank you to all of our loyal listeners. We read all of your comments, and we see all of your reviews, and it definitely helps us out and lets us know that you're liking what we're doing, so we'll keep doing it. And this is just the beginning of this Black Lives Matter conversation. It is going to be continuing for the rest of our lives until it's done and it's in the past. It's going to take some time, but we're doing it. All right, guys. Thanks for following, and we will see you next Monday.
All right.
Bye.